The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Well, I know that family can make you happy and friends can make you happy. A walk on the beach can make you happy. Ice cream can make you happy, especially homemade ice cream. Now, folks, it don't get much better than that. But I've never heard that chiropractors can make you happy. Well, according to Dr. John Minardi, they can. Now, he's a chiropractor who teaches other chiropractors and the public on how chiropractic techniques work and why. Now, Dr. Minardi, in a video I saw online from iHealthTube.com, you talked about the relationship between stress, happiness, and chiropractic adjustments. Now, exactly what is the relationship between these, and can adjustments really make us happier?
Absolutely, and that's a great question, and thank you for having me on your show and allowing me to talk to your listeners. And the answer is absolutely, and I think we need to back up a little bit in that, yes, I am a teacher, and I do teach other chiropractors and chiropractic students, but I really do everyone want to know that I am in full-time practice, so I adjust people in my own clinic Monday to Thursday every week and have done that for the past 17 years, so I am a practicing chiropractor, so I'm in the trenches every day. I don't just speak from a stage. I'm actually with patients every day myself. And the relationship between a chiropractic adjustment and happiness and behavior and all that stuff, because I'm sure a lot of people have never heard this, especially the lay public, is that I think what everyone has to understand is that when you are subluxated, and that's a chiropractic term for when you have a misalignment in your spine, when you're subluxated, what happens is that the brain gets flooded with a ton of bad information because basically the brain is always assessing the spine and making sure that everything is working properly in the body. And when you have misalignments, it sends bad information because of all the distortion on all the supporting structures that's supposed to keep that vertebrae in place and all of the inflammation that's now building up because of all of that distortion. Well, that sends bad information to the brain. It basically tells the brain there's a problem. So because the brain now says, okay, there's a problem, the brain does a couple of things. Number one, it starts to alter people's posture to try to keep you in a more defensive position. Number two, it releases a lot of inflammation in the body to help try to resolve the issue. And the third thing is it releases a lot of stress hormones. Now, this is the big, big problem, and this is how it relates to happiness. When you release a bunch of stress hormones into the body, short term, that kind of helps you out because it gets you ready for a threat, okay? But long term, these same hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, these are the stress hormones. Long term, they decrease the happy hormones of the brain, things like serotonin and dopamine and oxytocin. These are all the happy hormones. If you've ever had a great day, if you've ever been happy to see someone, if you've ever smiled about to eat an ice cream cone, that's serotonin being released, that's dopamine being released, that's oxytocin being released. The problem is that when you have stress hormones leaking out of the body, they decrease the release of that. Now, the good thing with the chiropractic adjustment is that when we adjust you, when we adjust those subluxations, we decrease those stress hormones in your blood. So when we decrease those stress hormones in the blood by replacing that bad information that was going to the brain with now good information because we just adjusted you, now the brain says, okay, I don't have to release as much stress hormones. So if I'm not going to release as much stress hormones, then I can increase the release of those happy hormones again. And that's why we see this again and again in our offices. And like I said, at the very beginning, I've been in practice for 17 years, and I can't tell you the countless times I've heard people walk into my office and they're not in pain anymore. They used to come in for pain, but they have no pain at all, but they continue to come in for chiropractic care. And if you asked any one of them, why do you continue to go for chiropractic? Your back pain is gone. Your headache is gone. Why do you continue to go? Well, they'll openly always say, you know what it is? I really can't even put my finger on it, but I've never felt better in my life. I've never felt happier in my life. I feel like I can live a better life. What they don't know that they're describing is those release of those happy hormones, is that serotonin, that dopamine release, where they just feel better overall in life. And I'm not just talking about pain. I'm talking about just feeling content and satisfied with life. And chiropractic care ties right into that.
Yeah, and so what you do when the subluxations are not there anymore and you fix them with your adjustments, So you're saying when you're basically just taking the stress off the body.
Correct.
You're taking, because instead of those, because the brain sends signals to each of the organs through the, of course, the spinal cord and the nerves that come off of that. So when they're pinched or they're stressed or they're, well, really it's a type of a, you know, they're pinched.
Well, it's not even a pinch, actually. Like, it can be pinched sometimes, but it's really that they're irritated.
Okay.
So a lot of times people will think, oh, there must be like a hard bone pushing on the nerve. And that only happens a percentage of the time. The really what happens is like the things like the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments and all the stuff that just support the vertebrae in staying in its right position. When the vertebrae gets misaligned, all of those supporting structures change, and they change in an abnormal position. And that's what's sending the bad signals to the brain. It's that distortion.
Okay, yeah. Well, I hadn't thought about it like that, but you're right, because there's all kind of everything else around it, too. It's not
correct.
Just the nerves.
Exactly,
okay, so
exactly.
That's interesting. So this would be a big contributor or underlying contributor to a lot of the stress Americans are having. Of course, it's not everything, but if you have this along with stress at work and everything else, no wonder people are so stressed out.
Well, exactly. And you know what? I'm very happy that you just said that, because a lot of people will think, well, you know what? I'm under stress. You're under stress. Everybody's under stress. Isn't everybody under stress? That's correct. But what I really want people to kind of visualize in their brain is that the way that the body deals with stress and trying to keep things in balance is kind of like a juggler who's juggling 10 tennis balls in the air. Now, if you think of every one of those tennis balls as another stressor in your life, maybe it's a bad marriage, maybe it's a terrible work environment, maybe you have a sick kid, whatever it is, you're juggling a bunch of stress every day in your life, and your body can handle a bunch of that. That's why it's able to juggle it. But what I want people to realize is that maintaining that balance is changing all the time. No different than juggling all those tennis balls in the air. There's always change in your hand position in order to keep those balls in the air, right? So the thing is that stress in your life is the same way. You and your brain and your body are handling some stress. But you would agree with me that if I was in a room of 50 people and I gave each one of them another tennis ball and I said, one at a time, toss me an extra tennis ball and I'll add it into the 10 that I'm already juggling in my life. Well, you'll agree with me at some point, maybe it's the 16th person, 17th person, they're going to toss me one more tennis ball and I can't quite catch that last tennis ball. I'm already juggling 17 balls, but that last one I can't catch. Well, that right there, the point at which your body can no longer adapt, no longer maintain even one more stress, the technical term for that is called allostatic load. It's the point at which your body can no longer maintain its homeostatic environment, its balanced environment. And what I like to tell people is that the misalignments in your spine might not be the, you know, be all end all of all the stress in your life. That's 100% true. But it might be that last tennis ball that makes you drop everything else and starts the cascade into disease and illness. And it's the good news is it's one thing that you can, if just by going to a chiropractor, you can prevent so that you can keep juggling all the other stressors in your life and your body can keep adapting. Same with good physical exercise, same with eating right. These are all things that you can do to help decrease your stress so you can balance the other stressors that might not be as controllable in your life.
Yeah, and I'm glad you talked about the allostatic load. That was one of my questions. Some doctors refer to that as just your bucket's getting too full and it just starts overflowing. That's the same
exactly.
thing.
You know, exactly.
You just, and that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense because our bodies can only handle so much.
Correct.
But
correct.
This is something that everybody can do, and it's something pretty simple. You know,
Exactly. And that's why I say to people, you know, there's really four main pillars of health. Number one is exercise. You got to keep moving, right? If you're not moving, your brain literally starts to shrink in size and your nervous system can't function properly. Number two is proper nutrition. You have to eat as clean as you can. And don't get me wrong, I like my cheesecake from time to time too. I always tell people 80% of the time, if you're eating clean, the 20% of the time, I don't care what you eat. Your body can handle that. That's no problem. The third thing is positive mental attitude. Like, Like you got to really be content with your life and whatever it is. And if you're not content, try to make some changes so that you can have that happiness back in your life. And last but not least, the thing that ties it all together is you have to have a proper functioning nervous system. And that's what chiropractic ties right into. Because if you have a proper functioning nervous system, all those other pillars can now act up not only properly, but to its optimal level.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's never just one thing. And that's the thing with people. You know, it's not just eating right. I'm glad you brought up all this. It's not just eating right. It's the whole kit and caboodle, the whole package.
For sure.
Now, you also said in the video that subluxations can cause problems with hormones.
Correct.
And with some behavioral issues and on
Absolutely.
Down the line. So give us an example or tell us a little bit about how exactly it impacts hormones, because
it
affects a lot of people.
No problem. There's a million examples we can give, but the big thing, like for example, in my own clinic and a lot of not just my clinic, but in a lot of chiropractic offices, we see a lot of individuals who come into our practice and they don't even tell us about this. We might take it into history or something like that, but we'll be adjusting, say, a young female, and 6-7 months down the road, she'll walk back into the office and say, I have to tell you something. I'll say, sure. And she says, I'm pregnant. I'll say, oh, great. Congratulations. And she goes, no, you don't understand. I could never get pregnant before. And the only thing that I changed in my life, I still eat the same, I still exercise the same. Like people told us we could never get pregnant before. And now, since we've been coming to you as a chiropractor, we're pregnant for the first time in our life. And not only are we pregnant, but we're able to maintain the pregnancy because we've been pregnant before, but then we miscarry right away. And she'll say, is that possible? And I'll say, absolutely. And she's like, oh my God, like how's that possible? And I always try to say to her, I say, because stress hormones are that, they're hormones, right? And I think what people have to realize is that if once you start altering hormones, you have a direct effect on other hormones in the body. That's just kind of the way that it is. So what happens is when you have a lot of stress hormones in the body, things like the adrenaline and cortisol we talked about earlier, short term, that's a good thing for you because it brings blood flow to your muscles and your heart and your brain. So if you think about it, if you are under a threatening situation, someone had a gun to your head, someone's chasing you with a knife or something, you need blood flow in your muscles, heart, and brain to get you out of that bad situation to run or to fight the person who's in front of you so you could defend yourself. So short term, that's a good deal, right? Because you have to survive the next 5 minutes. But what everyone forgets is that you only have so much blood flow in your body. So if I'm giving blood to muscles, heart, and brain, then I have to take blood from other areas inside the body in order to provide the muscles, heart, and brain. So who do I take from? I take from reproduction, I take from the immune system, and I take from the GI system. And short term, that is still a good deal because it really doesn't matter if you can reproduce if you don't survive the next 5 minutes, right? So it's a good deal short term. Long term, however, that's a very bad deal because if the stress doesn't go away, if those stress hormones just keep leaking into the body, then what happens is you start to really suppress certain aspects of the reproductive system, certain aspects of the immune system, certain aspects of the GI system. So that's why patients in our office will talk about things like, oh, I have terrible diarrhea from time to time, and I have no idea what happens. And, you know, ever since you started adjusting me, I came to you for low back pain, but all of these GI symptoms are gone now. Is there a link? Yes, there is. It's not because the nerve from the low back hooks up to the gastrointestinal tract. It's because every time we adjust, we recalibrate the hormones of the brain so that there's not as much stress hormones being leaked out. So then we reallocate blood flow to the immune system, reallocate blood flow to the GI system, reallocate blood flow to the reproductive system. See, the big thing with all of this is that when stress hormones are really, especially that hormone cortisol, cortisol long-term has really bad effects because it inhibits other hormones in the body. So like for a female who is having a hard time getting pregnant, if she has a lot of that stress hormone cortisol in her blood, that has a negative effect on progesterone, has a negative effect on estrogen, has a negative effect on luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone. So if I have a negative effect on all these reproductive hormones, it's extremely difficult for a female to not only get pregnant, but to maintain pregnancy. So the reason that we're powerful as chiropractors is by decreasing cortisol, that stress hormone in the blood, then we can allow those other hormones to function properly. Now, that's one example, but we can do a ton of examples all the way down the line, from behavioral issues with kids, meaning there's a decreased dopamine release from the brain, to all the way down the line of, you know, just people being depressed, like people with fibromyalgia and all that kind of stuff. That's why often, and chiropractors never claim to cure anything. What we do is we say, we want to check you out, see if you have these subluxations in the body, and adjust you. Because if we know that if we do that, we'll send those positive information to the brain, and the brain will recalibrate the hormone system the way it needs to in order for you to be healthy and heal and, you know, whatever.
So addressing the, you know, so if a person were to go to another doctor to address the hormonal issue, right, it's really going to be limited. It sounds like it's going to be limited in a way if they're not getting, you know, if they have some subluxations, because that's going to kind of mess up the hormonal system as they're trying to take. And that may be one reason it's hard to get the hormones balanced.
Correct. Absolutely. And that's the thing. And unless you're taking care of the original cause of the hormone imbalance, then you're going to be limited when, like, if you went to another health practitioner and they're like, oh, here, just take some testosterone. Well, here, just take some estrogen. Well, here, just take some whatever. That's going to help you temporarily, and it might boost you up a little bit, but long term, the problem's still there. So until you actually fix the reason that the hormones are all out of whack, then I can supplement you till the cows come home. It's not going to have its optimal effect unless we take care of the original cause, which could be a subluxation or other things. But chiropractors look at the subluxation.
Right. And that's what, you know, and that's what this podcast is all about, is getting to the root cause of things. And,
right,
you know, just getting all these things, information out to the public. Because, again, you know, if you don't get to the root cause of things, you're just spinning your wheels. And yet,
exactly,
you may be, you know, can handle some symptoms and stuff. But if you've got a, you know, and sometimes these are very serious problems,
sure,
that's underlying your health issues. If you don't really get to that, I mean, you know, you're just buying your time.
Exactly.
You know, Band-Aid solutions.
Well, exactly. And that's the best way to put it right there. Like, because you're basically constantly putting a new Band-Aid on a wound. You're never really getting to the root cause of fixing the problem. And unfortunately, in our North American society, a lot of times we've been conditioned our whole life that, you know, if I'm not in pain, then I must be healthy. And that's not true. We all have to remember the leading cause of death in North America, United States and Canada, is heart disease. And heart disease is named the silent killer because there are no symptoms. The first symptom is death.
Yeah.
You know, like you die of a heart attack. Right? And that's
right,
the number one killer in North America. So I really want all of our listeners here to really understand, because they might be at home right now saying, you know what, man, but I'm not in pain. I don't feel any back pain. I don't feel any headaches. What I want you to know is that you don't have to have symptoms to have a major problem brewing up in your body. So that's why I always recommend people to go get checked by a chiropractor, regardless if they're in pain or not. Because if we can find those spinal misalignments early, if we can find those subluxations early and get to that root cause early, then we can avoid so many other issues that might be coming down the line for these people. So earlier is always always best.
Yeah, and it's a great preventative also.
100%, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and we will be right back talking to Dr. John Minardi, and we're talking about chiropractic care.
We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. Well, we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, without a doubt, my friends, this is a game changer. It was for me, and it can be for you. I want to give you an exclusive offer today for our friends of America Out Loud. We appreciate you, and we want to show it right now with our complimentary gift. You can try this today free with our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Now, when I say free, I mean it is 100% free. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. It's a complimentary gift from us to you. Now, Healthy Cell, it's, I'll tell you what, 90 plus nutrients are infused into every cell of your body. This product has been incredible for me personally. I don't think it can be for you as well. So I want you to try it. It'll boost your energy. You'll sleep better at night, sharpens your focus. You'll feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer in a beautiful, prosperous life. I always talk about with you on the show. Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com and just click the large banner ad, and we'll have that complimentary gift right off to you.
And you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And we want you to be sure and subscribe on iTunes and rate and review the show and follow me on Twitter at Podcast for Life. Now, I'm talking to Dr. John Minardi, and he's a chiropractor who teaches chiropractic techniques to other chiropractors and to the public. He educates them, and he's got a website called MinardiEducation.com. Now, Dr. Minardi, I've heard that, from my chiropractor, when I first started seeing him, he says there were over 100 chiropractic methods. Now, is any one method better than the other, or does it matter?
Well, that's a great question. There are a lot of different chiropractic techniques, and that's just basic ways of assessing the spine and adjusting the spine back to its proper position. I wouldn't say that one is any better than another. A lot of times it's really the preference of, number one, the practitioner, and also the preference of the patient as well. Because sometimes some patients really like the more aggressive manual movement where they hear the cracking sound and all that kind of stuff. And just so that your listeners know, the cracking sound is literally just gas being released out of the joint, so nothing harmful is happening. But people like that more aggressive style, and so there's certain techniques that cater to that. And then there's other patients who really want a more gentle approach. They don't like that cracking sound. They don't like the aggressive movement, so they want a more gentler movement, and there are techniques that are more geared towards that as well. So it really depends a lot on what the practitioner likes to do, and also what the patient prefer to receive as well, because every body responds a little bit different. So it's good to have different techniques in order to suit the public's preference more than anything else. It's kind of like this, right? Like if you've ever been to a massage before, some people really like an aggressive massage. They like, you know, someone to dig their elbows in their spine, and they want to feel like they got hit by a Mack truck when it's all over, right? And then there's other people who want a really, really soft relaxation massage, and they don't like anything rough at all. It's just the person's preference. It's not that one massage is better than the other. It's literally that the patient prefers one or the other. And it's similar with the different chiropractic techniques. It's more preference. The one thing that I just want to say that is that it doesn't matter what technique you use, as long as you are adjusting the proper subluxation. That's the key. As long as you can analyze the spine properly and find where the problem is and provide a specific adjustment to that specific issue, then it doesn't really matter which technique you're using. They're all going to affect the brain the same way. They're all going to affect the spine the same way. The only time that that technique makes a difference is if I'm not finding that specific problem, then you're wasting your time. Right. But you, so long as the technique is finding the specific problem and adjusting you, it doesn't matter which one you're doing.
Okay. So, and this is why it's important for people to make sure they're going to a chiropractor that's using good tests to be sure they are adjusting the right areas.
Correct.
Right. I mean, some doctors take x-rays and some, I think, don't. How important are x-rays?
Oh, well, I mean, listen, it's one piece of the puzzle, but I always like to say that x-rays, although very important, are simply one piece of the puzzle. A picture of your spine is simply that. It is a picture one moment in time. So they are extremely important for ruling out things like fracture, major degeneration, some pathologies and stuff like that. And anytime we see any clinical signs of any of those things happening, we have to take x-rays to ensure that that's not going on. Other times we're taking x-rays to help with our clinical analysis. We want to see, you know, the alignment of the spine. Is there movement there? Is there not movement there? Is there any type of problems with the soft tissues that I can see? And chiropractors use that as a piece of the puzzle. But most chiropractors' offices are going to do these type of things. When you first step into the office, they're going to do a complete chiropractic history, which means we're going to ask you a ton of questions about what you're doing day to day now and what you've done in your past that may have caused these issues. So we really want to know an in-depth detail of your history right off the top. Then we're going to do a complete physical examination. So that could include some motion palpation, so just kind of seeing how the spine is moving, static palpation to see how you are just in a neutral position, how's the spine sitting, some gait analysis to see how you're walking and how you're moving, postural analysis, because that gives us a lot of indication of how your brain is trying to protect the body is just by looking at your posture. Then we'll do things like leg length checks to see how the nervous system is responding and contracting different muscles from your day to day. And then we'll do neurological testing as well. We may also do x-rays if we think to ourselves, okay, our clinical stuff is kind of pointing in one direction, so I need to take x-rays here. Sometimes if all of your clinical tests are all pointing to the exact same thing, then there may not be a need to take x-rays because, you know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck, right? So that's basically it. But be sure though that if x-rays are required, if we ever see a red flag and say, you know what, this could be potentially something dangerous here, a chiropractor is definitely taking x-rays, no questions asked.
Okay. How important are massages before chiropractic adjustments? Sometimes, you know, people do that. Does that help loosen up muscles so they can adjust you better?
Oh, that's a good question. Chiropractic and massage works hand in hand. I actually would always recommend a massage happen after the adjustment, not before. And the reason is this: those muscles are getting tensed up for a specific reason, right? And the reason is that a nerve is telling the muscle to contract to protect the body. So what we do by adjusting you first is we decrease any of that interference to the nervous system. That way the muscles can loosen up because they're not having a nerve telling it to contract the entire time. Then when you go to a massage, now the massage can really get in there and start to break down the scar tissue and all that kind of stuff. So some people always thought, oh, maybe I should massage it first and kind of loosen things up so that you get a better adjustment. But it's actually the other way around. If we can adjust you properly, decrease any of that irritation to the nerves, then your muscles will take a good massage better and you'll hold your adjustment for a lot longer.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad I asked that question then, because I was thinking maybe you need to do it, get the massage before the adjustment. Okay, so very good. There is this, it seems like a new technique that's out. I wanted to ask you about. It's where they adjust the atlas, mm-hmm. you know, that bone that's right up under your
yes.
skull, for the
mm-hmm.
people that don't know what that is. What do you think about that? Because they say that if you, and in theory it sounds good, but I don't know for sure. You know, they say if you adjust that in time, the other spine kind of aligns under it because it's kind of at the head here. What do you think about that adjustment? And is that something that maybe people should look into?
Yeah, absolutely. That's called an upper cervical adjustment, and that is for the atlas. And like you said, that's the first vertebrae just underneath the skull. That's actually not a new technique. That's a very, very old technique. And there are several techniques that focus just on that atlas bone. And yes, you're right. There are theories out there that says if you basically adjust the atlas, the rest of the body will, you know, compensate over time and realign over time. And that is one of the theories. What I will say is that regardless if you're going to only an upper cervical specific doctor that only looks at the atlas, or a doctor that looks at the rest of the spine, I can assure you that those upper cervicals are always going to be part of the adjusting protocol, because we do know through research that there's a lot of neurological information that goes to the brain from adjusting those upper cervicals. So it's really the influence, the major influence that you're having on the brain by adjusting that upper area where the person gets tremendous health benefits. So if someone is seeing an upper cervical specific doctor and that's all they do, they can be sure that they're going to be getting tremendous health benefits. If they're going to see a doctor who's treating them full spine and not just adjusting the upper areas, but adjusting some other areas as well, again, they are going to receive very, very good benefits to the brain. Either one is going to give you a lot of positive information to the brain, which is then going to give healing, health and healing to the body. So again, it's not about the technique per se. It's more just finding the right problem and making sure the brain's getting the right information.
Okay. Now, some doctors recommend walking after, like, walking 5 or 10 minutes after an adjustment. Do you think that's something that everybody should do, regardless if their chiropractor advises it or not? I mean, it's definitely not going to hurt anything, but.
Oh, no, definitely not going to hurt anything. Definitely not going to hurt anything. Well, it's just increasing the movement of the body again. So again, just strengthening that positive information going to the body. Some people have the opposite philosophy too. Like back in the old days, back in our pioneers 100 years ago, they used to adjust people and then have them rest there for 20 minutes after and just let the body relax completely before any movement. I honestly believe that the individual should really feel their own body. Like if after an adjustment you think, wow, I'm kind of oozy, maybe I should take a rest, then I think that's what you need, because it's your brain basically saying to you, I need a little bit of time to reset here. If however you feel energized and you're like, wow, I feel phenomenal after that adjustment, I feel like going to run a marathon, then you should definitely go for a walk, get those positive hormones being released from all that movement. So it's really you have to be more in tune with your body and really just listen to what your own body says. And if it's like, you know what, I need a little rest right now, take a rest for 5 minutes. If it's like, wow, you know what, I feel energized, then take a walk, burn some of that good energy in there and get that, those positive hormones being released from the body.
Okay, that sounds like very good advice there. And I think all of us need to be more in tune with our bodies anyway, you know, because, you know, like just from day to day when you're tired, if you can, rest, because we do need to listen to our bodies. But how often should one get an adjustment?
That's a great question. It really depends on the individual. A lot of times, once we find problems, we're going to be adjusting you a lot more, because we have to correct something. So for example, patients in my office, when they come in, if they've had chronic issues, it is not uncommon for me to start them at 2 or 3 times per week for several weeks to correct the problem that I found. Once the problem is corrected, once the problem is under control, then we recommend maintenance adjusting, which is kind of like a tune-up to your spine, no different than regular exercise or eating right and all that kind of stuff. You have to maintain things even when you fix them. So the maintenance part can be once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, once a month. It really depends on the individual in our office. So once corrective care is finished, then about once every 2 to 3 weeks, we recommend someone have a tune-up so that these problems never come back and that we can maintain their overall health. But at the correct, it's probably going to be about 2 or 3 times per week.
Okay. Now, is there any specific habits that are things that we can do to help keep our spine aligned? Or maybe the better thing to ask is there some things that we definitely don't need to do? And I'm sure there's a lot of them. But some things that you can suggest for us to help keep our spines better aligned, and so that even though we do need to keep it maintained, but there's things we can do ourselves to keep our spines better aligned so that we can stay healthier.
Absolutely. I mean, let's start off with some easy ones, with some physical things that we can do. Unfortunately, with technology, we're getting more and more in that crouched position because we're in front of our cell phones all the time, texting someone, or we're at our laptop computers, and we're in this like C, this letter C motion, right? Like we're just curled up in a little ball.
Yeah, and I'm straightening up now.
Right.
My computer.
Exactly. So I always tell people, I'm like, if you can, if you're at work, because a lot of people are like, well, I work on my laptop all day. Okay, that's fair enough. Everybody's working on their laptop. So try to put your laptop on a couple of books so that it's at least the same height as your head, so that you can look straight rather than looking down the entire time. Or if you're texting, like I always tell people, like I know texting is all part of the world now, but if people could not use that for extended periods of time. So try not to return all your emails on your phone. Try not to just sit there in that little itty bitty, you know, thumb typing position for long periods of time. And I always tell people, when you're walking, it's as simple as this. When you walk, don't look to the ground. Literally look up and try to look 100 feet ahead of you, because that simple movement will put your head nice and straight over your shoulders and have that plumb line all the way down, so you can have your shoulders back. Anything that gets you out of that flexed position is going to help maintain the integrity of the spine. You know, so those are simple things, but you know, something that we could just consciously do every day.
And that's good. It's just that's some good advice, because it makes sense that we want to try to keep our spine straight, you know, more in the normal position.
Right.
What, you know, it can help with, you mentioned headaches a little bit ago, and I know sometimes people have a lot of headaches and various different things can cause them, but have you seen a lot of people just have like instant relief from getting a chiropractic adjustment with their headaches?
Absolutely.
Or is that something that happens over time?
Well, I mean, the answer to the questions are yes to both. And the fact that there's times that we adjust people and they get instant relief. They literally sit back and say, wow, my headache is gone. And then there's time that people do need several adjustments in order for that headache symptom to decrease. Now, again, we don't just look for your symptoms. So if you came in with headaches, I don't just think to myself, okay, what adjustment can I specifically do for headaches? What I'm doing is I'm just always looking at your spine, finding subluxations and adjusting them. The byproduct of adjusting them oftentimes is symptoms will disappear. So your headaches will go away, your low back pain will go away, your neck pain will go away. That's a byproduct of you getting healthier. See, every time you get adjusted, your body is getting healthier. So the byproduct of getting healthier is that your pain goes away. The byproduct of getting healthier is that your posture improves. The byproduct of getting healthier is your blood pressure decreases. We don't have a specific adjustment for blood pressure or a specific adjustment for headaches. But what we find is that these symptoms all decrease or disappear completely, either right away or over time, because every time we adjust you, your overall body is getting healthier. And that's really what I want the listeners, if there's a takeaway point to this, is that you should be going to a chiropractor as part of your overall health. No different than eating properly, no different than exercising regularly, no different than just surrounding yourself with some positive people that are uplifting you in life, right? All of those other things all improve your overall health. A lot of people will say to me all the time, well, I go to the gym because I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, that's actually not true. And then they'll look at me and say, what are you talking about? That's exactly why I go to the gym. I say, no, when you go to the gym, you actually go to the gym and you get healthier. The byproduct of you working out at the gym is that you'll lose weight. The byproduct is your blood pressure will go down. The byproduct is your cholesterol starts to even out. Those are byproducts of you getting healthier, and you're using going to the gym as a tool to get healthier. That's how chiropractic is. When people come to me, they're not really coming to me for their headaches. They might walk in my door, have a headache, maybe I should go to a chiropractor, but they're really coming to me to get healthier. And the byproduct of that is that their headaches will go away. Sometimes that happens instantly. We adjust them, and because we're removing that irritation, they feel instant relief. Other times, because they've had this problem for 10 or 20 years, it takes a series of adjustments in order to equalize the body again so that those symptoms disappear. But that's why we don't necessarily chase symptoms. We're trying to chase function of the body. How are you functioning? How can we improve that function so that your brain and body can work better and you can be healthier?
Yeah, and I know there's probably a lot of people now looking for a phone number to their nearest chiropractor.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that have headaches.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to take another quick break here. And just as a reminder, you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. I'm your host, Beverly Butler. And be sure and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and rate and review the show. And also follow me on Twitter at Podcast for Life. We will be right back.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about this behavior, because one of my main things is, trying to help people with children that have these neurobehavioral problems.
Right.
How have you seen this help children's behavior? And I've heard of fussy babies, parents, mothers bringing them in and getting chiropractor adjustments, and they get, they get better, they get
sure.
happier. So mm-hmm. how does this, what are some success stories that you've, had in your practice, and how does this really help them? And should people start really early with children?
Oh, great, great question. And it's really a beautiful question. And I'm really happy to answer this one, because everyone should take their child to be checked by a chiropractor as early as possible. And I literally mean from the hospital going directly to the chiropractic office. That's how early, like the earliest newborn that I've ever checked was 4 days old. And we checked them right away, and we adjust them to this day every 3 weeks. The thing is this: it is imperative to find problems as early as possible. And what people might not be aware of is that the birthing process, even a quote-unquote normal birth, is extremely traumatic for both the new mom and the child. This is not just the child, sliding down a slide to come out of the vaginal canal and be born in this world. That's just not how it works. So because of that struggle, because of all of the issues that are surrounded by it, like and oftentimes, a very common childbirth is that a female is in a hospital on her back in a disadvantageous biomechanical position to deliver a child. She has to push a lot harder. The child is sometimes gets their shoulder stuck on the pubic bone on the way out. The doctor's pulling to try to get the baby out. Sometimes drugs are administered, like an epidural or some type of induction drug. These, unfortunately, are all common practices in a childbirth in North America and probably around the world now. But none of it is considered normal. It's just very common. But because of that, though, because of these common issues that constantly come up, the child goes through a lot of trauma, and so does the new mom. So, if you think about it, right? When the child comes out, the medical health practitioner has to grab a hold of the child in some way. And what are they grabbing a hold of? They're grabbing a hold of the child's head and neck. So because they're grabbing the child's head and neck and pulling and twisting to get the child out of there, think of how much pressure that is putting on an infant's spinal column, on the spinal cord, on the spine itself. Now, the thing is, when they deliver it in the world, you think, hey, I have a normal, healthy baby. Look, it's got a round head, and it's not yellow, it's not blue, it's breathing, it cried when you smacked them, like everything seems normal. See, the thing is that that's where we can fall into the trap of, well, I don't see the problem, so there must not be the problem. When in fact, there were studies out there that have shown that when they checked 1,000 infants, they found that 80% of these infants had issues in their neck and their cranial bones from the birthing process itself. So some were very minor, some were more severe, but still 80% had some issues. So if we can get on top of those issues right away, then they don't develop into big problems later on. That's why if you ever see children with a major head tilt, you'll look at a little child who's like a year old, 2 years old, and they don't hold their head straight. It always tilts off to the left or the right. That's a sign that there could be a potential problem in the neck area, subluxation in the neck. There are children who have a hard time walking. You know, they're a year old. They should be walking at this point in time, but every time they try to get up, they continuously fall and they're having a hard time. That's a potential sign of a problem that started right from the birthing process. There's other kids, like, you know, if you ever see a kid crawling, they should have a proper cross crawl characteristic, but instead, you know, they'll move their arms, but they'll scoot their little butt across the ground. Again, those are signs that there's potential problems in the spine that a chiropractor can not only help with, but solve right away and prevent future issues. See, because remember, if you're a child, like if you're an infant and you can't talk, right? Your main form of communication is crying, right? You cry if you're hungry, you cry if you're sad, cry if you have to get changed. Crying is your main form of communication. So oftentimes, parents will come into my office and in other chiropractors' offices and say, I don't know what it is. My baby's just so fussy all the time. It's fed, we change it, it's clean. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then we find spinal subluxations in the child and we provide the gentle adjustment to the infant and boom, all of a sudden, child's sleeping. All of a sudden, child's not crying anymore. All of a sudden, child is happy. How come? Because the child is trying to communicate to the parent that there's a problem, but they can't verbalize it. So they start to cry uncontrollably and they'll cry all night and they'll have these colicky type of symptoms and the parent's just at their wit's end saying, I don't know what to do here. You know, so that's the thing. And when I talk to parents, I'll say, tell me about the childbirth. And they'll say, oh, it was a normal childbirth. And I'll say, well, tell me a little bit about that. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, I had to get induced and I had an epidural and I had all these things and I couldn't push anymore. So they had to pull the child out. And sometimes they used forceps and sometimes they didn't. And like, it's just even what's considered normal now is so abnormal. It's just so common that people think, oh, this is the way a woman is supposed to deliver. And that's not true at all, unfortunately. So that's why we see so many kids in our office. And unfortunately, if we don't see them early on, when they're a little older, then they develop into other behavioral issues, you know, where they get, diagnosed with things like, you know, ADHD and things like that. And ADHD, if you looked at the research behind that, again, that's a major cortisol problem. So if you have that stress hormone in the blood, what it does is it affects another hormone from the brain called dopamine. And when you decrease dopamine in these children, what happens is that they have very bad behavioral issues. So they can't sit down for a long period of time. They run around. It looks like they got ants in their pants all the time. That's because of the decrease in dopamine. But it's not because they're not producing enough dopamine. Their brain can produce as much as you want. It's just getting the signal from that stress hormone cortisol to stop producing dopamine or produce less of it, I should say. That's where you get all the behavioral issues. But when we adjust these kids and we decrease that stress hormone, well, now dopamine can go back to its normal levels. So then their behavior improves. And I can't tell you how many times we have people in our office and they have children who have behavioral issues at school, and then they start getting a series of adjustments. And then 6 months later, they're like, I don't know what you did, but our teachers are constantly coming back to us saying, you know, keep up with exactly what you're doing because little Johnny's never acted better. Or, you know, do you have a new medication? And they're like, no, we didn't do anything like that. All we're doing is chiropractic care. And that's because what we do is we try to find that hidden cause. We try to find the subluxation so that we can adjust it, recalibrate all of these hormones so that their overall behavior improves. Because what everyone has to remember is, if you look at someone's behavior, and I don't care what the behavior is, whether it's happiness, aggression, anger, sadness, all of those behaviors are because a hormone, a chemical is being released. And depending on that chemical will give you the behavior that you're witnessing. So if you see an aggressive person, see someone who's angry, that's a lot of adrenaline being released. That's a lot of cortisol being released. If you see someone who's super happy and wants to hug and kiss everybody all the time, that's a lot of serotonin being released, a lot of dopamine being released. So hormones equal behavior. So if we see all kinds of stress behavior in a kid, which is usually some type of hyperactivity or some type of attention problem, that's telling you that they have a lot of that stress hormone, that cortisol being released. So chiropractic adjusts these individuals, balances all that out so that their behavior improves.
Wow, this is amazing. I haven't thought of it like this before, but this is just, I mean, this opens up a whole new door to childhood behavior problems.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
For adults too, for that matter.
Yeah.
this is fantastic. And I love what you said about what's common. It's not always normal. That's a phenomenal quote on that. So a lot of these ADHD problems likely could be just that the child needs to get the spine realigned to take the stress off the body, so the brain hormones and chemicals can just balance themselves out.
Exactly. And that's why, like, I don't want people to just think, okay, well, then that's the only answer. I know that there's other factors that can be involved,
sure,
but it's one of the things that they can do to help their child. You know, like, a lot of times, unfortunately, we've been conditioned in North America that, oh, if you have a problem, then only a medication can help you, only a drug can help you. And that's not true. That might be one piece of the puzzle that may help, but we don't know. A lot of times, drugs just mask the symptoms. They're not really getting to the hidden cause. We have to do other things to get to the hidden cause, and chiropractic is one of those things. Another thing that they've shown, for especially for kids with ADHD, is to have them have a lot more play time, not organized sport time. That's different, because a lot of parents will say, oh, my kid's in football and hockey and baseball and this and that. Yeah, but that's all organized sport. That's still a lot of pressure on the child. I mean, think about it. If you're a 10-year-old quarterback on a football team, there's a ton of pressure on you. You might be vilified for quote unquote losing the game because you threw an interception instead of a touchdown. That's a lot on a 10-year-old, right? So the thing is, but what they find is that they need the exercise, but they need it in a non-structured way. So they need to play. So no one gets stressed when they play tag. No one gets stressed when they play, you know, hopscotch. Like, no one gets stressed by those type of non-organized games, and that's what kids need the most. So another thing that I would say to parents, if they're having a child that's having some, you know, behavioral issues, is take a look at how much they're actually playing. Because the one thing about technology these days, it has removed our kids from being outside running around with their friends. Now they're all in front of the computer playing, you know, I don't know what these games are called, but like War of whatever, right? Like, they're playing shooting games on the internet with people from around the world all shooting, you know, these imaginary, you know, creatures on the internet, when they should be outside running around with their friends, climbing a tree, you know, going to pick apples, doing fun stuff. That's what the brain and body needs. And that's another thing that helps these behavioral issues for kids, right? They don't need more drugs and stuff. They need more activity. They need more stimulation to the brain. That's what they really need.
Right. And activity out in nature, like you said.
Exactly.
And this just goes back to show, again, it's never just one thing.
Correct.
But, you know, you could have, but this is a phenomenal piece of the puzzle, though. And, you know, and it's, you just can't replace, and I'm glad you talked about this, about children just getting out playing. They need unstressed playing, unstressful playtime.
Right.
And, you know, like we used to do, you know, when I grew up, you know, we would go out in the woods. I lived in the country, you know, I mean, the places where we played, I'm like, man, it's a wonder we didn't get snake bit or something.
And, well,
and I'm thinking, no, we scared all the snakes away, I'm sure.
Right.
And I mean, ditches and woods and, you know, farms. But we were just out in the country, out in nature, playing. And kids are missing that nowadays.
Right. And that's the thing. Everyone doesn't get dirty anymore.
How long does it use? And I know this would vary with children, but how long does it usually take For parents to start? Do you have an average before they start seeing if this is really going to help their behavior?
Well, it really depends on the child. Like I said, some people you see results right away. Like, you see the behavioral changes, you know, within a couple of weeks. And then there's other people that require more time. It really depends on how long has it been brewing in the child as well, right? Yeah. Like, an average time is so difficult to say because every person is so individual. Right. So you'd have to really, you'd have to get checked first and foremost. You'd have to go to a chiropractor, have them check the child properly. And then once they're checked, then the chiropractor can give you a better estimation on when, we should be able to see some behavioral changes or when we should start to see some changes in the spine. And you really have to get checked before that. It'd be a disservice for me to say the average is, 6 to 10 or whatever. Like, I can't give you an average because everybody's too different.
But the main thing is don't give up too soon. Just stick
with guaranteed.
It. And, absolutely. Like you said, we really all need to continue to have chiropractic adjustments just so that we can keep our spine aligned and stay healthy.
Correct.
Now, we've got just about a couple of minutes left. I want to just real quickly, and I know it can help with postures, help me with my posture a good bit. Mm. And I've been laying some on a block that helps because I don't have my curve in my neck is kind of gone. And so that's important, too. And I guess that's one good reason, for x-rays to be sure that's all your curvatures are where they need to be.
Sure.
But it's really important. How important is it for people to have that curve in their neck like they're supposed to have and in the back and all?
Yeah, the curves of the spine are essential. You need to have the proper curves in the spine for your nervous system to work optimally. It's as simple as that. We're none of us, the curves in your back are not there by accident, right? They are made so that your body has them so that everything functions to its best. So if you're losing your curve in your neck or your low back or wherever, what ends up happening is that now you don't have proper information going to the brain. So now the brain says, okay, well, there's a problem. So let's try to alter your posture more. So then you start to have the rounded in shoulder look and you start to have a little bit more of a hump in your upper back. And then you start to get a flattened out lower back. And then your hip starts to raise on one side. See, this all starts to occur over time as a compensation because you are starting to lose those primary curvatures of the spine that are essential for you. So the thing is that the chiropractic adjustment is going to be the first and primary thing that's going to restore that. But yeah, you might be doing some other exercises at home to help. So you might, be sitting or having your neck on a block, or some people have some tractioning devices that they give to patients to do at home. Whatever it is to help restore the proper biomechanics of the spine. I mean, think of your own car, right? If your own car was misaligned, you would know instantly because the car would start to shake for a while, your wheels would start to wear out quickly, hear some noises that aren't supposed to be there. That's the same kind of thing with the spine. When you start to lose your curvature of your neck, people start to say similar things. They'll walk into my office and they'll be like, "Hey, doc." And they'll start to move their neck around. They're like, listen. They're like, shh, listen. And then they'll move their neck around and I'll hear click, 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 grind. And they're like, "Is that normal, doc?" I'm like, if you heard a grinding sensation in your car, would you think that was normal? And he's like, "Well, no, of course not." And I said, "Well, that's the same with your spine. It just tells me that there's major misalignments here and scar tissue is already starting to develop. And I can tell that just by the noise. I don't even have to take an x-ray yet. I can tell just by all the clinical stuff that you're telling me that you're losing your curvature here." So those curves, the posture, keeping yourself in proper alignment, it's essential for your brain health, but it's also essential for you to live a long, healthy life. Like we all, no matter how old we are, we want to be able to get up out of bed, jump out, go exercise if we want, make love if we want. We want to do things that make us happy. And if you start losing those curvatures of your spine, trust me, it's going to be hard to get out of a chair, let alone, go for a run or make love to your wife or do whatever. Like, that's the thing. It'll start to affect the quality of your overall life. It won't do it today, but it will. If you let it go, it will continuously get worse. And over time, it will start to affect everything good in your life. So you really want to catch that stuff as early as possible. So that's why I recommend to go to a chiropractor, get checked. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You get checked. If they find issues, then they'll fix them for you. You can jump on it as quick as possible. If they don't find issues, well, then you're good to go. But get checked. That's the big thing I would say.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And that sounds like a great statement to end on. But do get checked by a good chiropractor. And thank you, Dr. Minardi. And for more information, if you want to learn more about chiropractic care, you go to minardieducation.com. And again, thank you, Dr. Minardi, and for the work that you're doing and trying to educate people on the importance of chiropractic care. And thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.